Go ahead and open to Mark chapter 4. This past Wednesday night, one of the things that we looked at in Scripture was over in Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, where God made the statement that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I shared with you what the Lord had shared with me, how that, relative to Christians now, a lack of knowledge is like a hole. Sooner or later, something's going to come along and fill it. And we talked about that, and we're not going to go back and review that, but I wanted to reiterate, you know, that thing that he said to me, that a lack of knowledge is like a hole. And sooner or later, something is going to come along and fill it. As far as Christians are concerned, the thing that's going to fill it is going to be some kind of doctrine, some kind of belief, and so forth. Well, taking another look on that whole process, that whole concept, you know, from a different perspective. Earlier this year, in the spring, when it came time to, you know, plant flowers or whatever, we had a flower pot that we put outside. Is kind of a rectangular shaped flower pot. And we put it outside, had the dirt and everything in it, but we didn't do anything with it. And then all of a sudden, stuff starts growing out of it. And we're looking at this and think, well, what's this? And as the days and the weeks began to go by, we realized that these weren't, you know, weeds or whatever. I mean, these were flowers that were growing, and we hadn't planted anything. And these flowers kept growing and growing. Well, to make a long story short, we had all kinds of different flowers in that flower pot. And we didn't plant a thing. Well, the flowers that were in the pot were flowers that had been in that pot the previous year and flowers that had been in other pots the previous year. And what had happened, these weren't the kind that come back every year. Well, what had happened was that in some way, shape, or form, not only the flowers that had been in the pot last year, but other flowers, their seeds had gotten into this dirt. And we didn't know that because at the end of the season, we had pulled out everything that was in there. It was all dead and dried up, so we pulled it out. Now, it was just dirt. And it was full of flowers, massive, just flowers in all the colors. It was a beautiful pot. Well, anyway, I got to thinking about that and how that the seeds for those flowers had been in there the whole time. Now, ultimately, you could say that Kathy and I had the responsibility. We were the ones that had sown the seeds in that pot, either directly or indirectly, from the flowers that had been in there or the flowers that had been in the other pots, that somehow the seeds from those flowers ended up in this pot I'm talking about. So ultimately, you know, you could say that we were responsible for planting the seeds. But the thing is, those seeds were in there. And those seeds were in that dirt. And they didn't start to grow until we took that pot out of the garage and set it outside where it could get light and rain, water. And once that happened, the seeds began to grow. And as they began to grow, they began to turn into, you know, the beautiful flowers that they were. But if we had left that flower pot in the garage where it got no light and no water, then guess what would not have happened? No flowers. Nothing would have grown. But the seeds would have been there the whole time. And we could have left that pot in there in the garage for 20 years. Just dirt. No light, no water. But those seeds were in there. The seeds to produce the purples and the yellows and the whites and the pinks and the oranges and all the different colors, all the different styles, all those seeds were in there. But until we got them out in the light and out in the water, they didn't grow. Nothing took place. Seed needs two things to grow, water and light. And without the water and the light, the seeds won't grow. Now, you guys, I know you're picking up on the analogy here. In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus says, "The sower soweth the word." The sower sows the word. And in verse 20, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100." Now I think we could take some liberties with this and throw in some 10-fold, some 20-fold, some 40-fold, some 80-fold. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if you're at a 30-fold and you're headed toward a 100-fold, you do have to go by 40, 50, 60, 70. Okay, just, you know, simple illustration there. The sower sows the word. And then, "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, using the analogy of what I shared a moment ago, the natural seed, seed needs two things to grow: water and light. Now, in the absence of water and light, the seed won't grow, but the seed will be there. Okay, now let's take it and let's look at it from this perspective. I shared how that ultimately Kathy and I were responsible for planting the seeds for those flowers in that flower pot, either directly or indirectly. Well, when it comes to the sower sowing the word, think of it like this. When you go to a church, the pastor is sowing seed. He's sowing seed into the lives of the people that hear the sermon. And this can be, you know, in person or over the internet, on tapes, CDs, your iPods, and all these other different forms of media. Well, and if it's not the pastor, it might be the guest speaker, or you might go to a camp meeting or whatever, but, you know, they're sowing seed. Seed is being sown into all the lives of the people that are there. And everybody who's there, who's paying attention, everybody who's there, the seed is being sown into their lives. However, just because the seed is sown doesn't mean the seed's producing. Just because the seed is sown doesn't mean that the seed is producing. Let's take a few examples here. Somebody could teach, let me use this term. Somebody could sow. Now, when I talk about the preachers sowing the word, for the moment, we're going to concentrate only on what is truth, okay? Not wrong doctrine, but what is truth. So somebody stands before you and begins to preach. They begin to sow the seed of healing. And they just keep sowing God's word, seed of healing, you know, and it keeps getting sown. It's in there, okay? Okay, in another sermon, another camp meeting, another revival, it could be the seeds of the new nature versus the sin nature. Explaining the difference between a Christian with the new nature and what born again really means and so forth, and explaining, you know, Romans chapter 7 and how Christians don't have a sin nature. They're sowing the seeds of this into people's lives. In another sermon, another camp meeting, the seeds of righteousness are being sown. What is righteousness? What does it mean to you? Are you or are you not righteous? When you accept Jesus Christ at that moment, are you or are you not righteous? And so the seeds for that truth are sown into people's lives. The seeds about prosperity. The truth seeds about prosperity being sown in people's lives. Sown through, you know, an entire camp meeting of prosperity services. Truth is being sown. The seeds of truth are being sown in people's lives. The seeds of what are and are not ministry callings. They go through Scripture and they pull out the truth and sow the seeds of what are and are not ministry callings in people's lives. The seeds of praying in tongues. What happens when you pray in the Spirit? The seeds of the gifts of the Spirit. What are the gifts of the Spirit? And all of these different, so that this truth, this seed is sown, and it's sown, and it's sown. And so you have a whole lot of people with the seed sown. But if there's no light and there's no water, what's not going to happen? You're not going to get the, quote, flowers of that seed. But the seed will be in there. Okay, now, let's think again to the natural flower pot, the example I gave at the beginning. Let's say that the seeds for all these flowers were big enough to see. Because, you know, some flower seeds are pretty tiny. But let's just say that they were big enough to see. And let's say that I were to go out to the garage and I were to kind of dig around in that dirt and I would say, yep, there's some seed there and some seed there and look, at there's one. And I point to all these different... And let's say I'm so good at gardening flower that I could look at the seed and I could tell you, ah, well, that's a marigold, or that's a petunia, you know, or that's a, you know, whatever. You can tell I'm not very good. So pick a flower, I don't care. So let's say that I could look and I say, yeah, that's that kind of a seed. And I know what kind of seed it is. And not only that, I could tell you that when that seed begins to germinate and take root and it begins to produce, that it's going, I could begin to describe the colors it could produce. I could describe to you about how tall it's going to be, about how many leaves might be on that flower, about how many, what the bloom is going to look like, and how many petals may typically be on that kind. And I could give you an intricate description of what that seed can produce. But if there's no light and there's no water, it's going to stay a seed forever. Now, the preacher sows the seed, the truth, about ministry callings, about prosperity, about healing, about the gifts of the Spirit, about righteousness. Name your topic, okay? The minister sows the seed of all these different things into a person's life. And then you ask the person about that seed. And they can tell you about that seed. They can tell you what it means. They can tell you what it's supposed to look like, how many leaves it's supposed to have, what the blooms are supposed to look like, how many petals are typically on that bloom, etc. and so forth. But if the seed that has been sown in them does not get light and does not get water, guess what's not going to happen? No blooms, no fruit. They're going to be able to clearly identify the seed. But the seed is nothing more than sown. It is not producing. And this, when the Lord was helping me see all of this, it really helped me to see a lot more. How this really, this right here, answers the question as to why so many people can have seed sown into their lives and there's never any flower. There's never any fruit, ever. They can point to the seed. They can say they were in the services. And yet there's never, nothing's ever produced. In fact, in some cases, it's like they've forgotten the seed was even sown. They were there. They looked right at the preacher the whole time, follow along in their Bible. Might have even taken notes. But yet, over time, they have forgotten even the seed was sown. And there's never any production. And then what happens? They, in conversations, they begin to ask questions or make statements relative to seed that has been sown as though the seed was never there. Or like they have no idea what the seed is supposed to do. And yet the seed, it's there. The seed is in there. It's all in there. The teaching's been sown in them, but there's nothing happening as a result of that. And then the questions that come as a result of no fruit being produced are questions about why isn't God doing this? Why isn't God doing this? How come this? Why don't I know this? And how come that hasn't happened? And so forth. And then, you know, for me, and I'm not alone in this. I mean, this, if you guys are called to stand behind the pulpit and preach the word, it's going to happen to you too. Give it enough time. Preach enough sermons. It's going to happen to you too. People that have heard you, people that have listened to you, people that you know sat there and eyeballed you while you were sowing the seed, they're going to be asking these questions, and in your mind you're going to be thinking, why are you asking this? Or they're going to make a statement to you during a conversation, and you'd be standing there thinking, why are you saying this? Because I've already sown that seed into your life. You should know this. I don't understand. Well, the seed was sown, that's for sure. But there's been no light and there's been no water. Now here's the tricky thing about this. There are a lot of Christians that think all that's necessary... Well, no, wait a minute, back up. There are a lot of Christians who, by virtue of their lifestyle, we're not talking sin, put it another way, by virtue of how they treat the seed, the way they demonstrate it in their life, there are some Christians who appear to think that all they have to do is sit and listen, and that's all that's necessary, and that the seed's going to produce in their lives because they've had the seed sown. But yet without the light, without the water, nothing's going to produce in your life. Here's the thing. Jesus, remember, I shared how that Jesus mentioned, you'll know the truth will make you free. Okay, let's say that you're walking in bondage in the area of healing or in the area of understanding righteousness. You still think you're just an unrighteous, dirty, old whatever. Or in bondage in the area of prosperity, whatever. Jesus said you'll know the truth will make you free. But the truth is the Word of God, okay? Now, when the Word of God as seed is sown into your life, until that Word of God, even though the seed is truth, until it begins to produce the fruit of truth, you're still going to be in bondage to whatever it is. Doesn't matter. You still will be in that bondage. And until there's watering and until there's light, you're not going to begin walking in the truth or the freedom that that truth can produce. But the seed is there. The seed is there. The seed is there. Let me give you a simple example. There's so many people who have come to me over the years who have heard me teach, and not just me, but they've heard others too, about praying in the Spirit, and yet they still can't figure out why they're not getting answers to things from God. They can't figure out how come, you know, well, I just don't understand. I've been waiting on God for so long, and I just... Well, you know, the thing is, if you pray in tongues, you're guaranteed to get results. It's not going to happen overnight, but you're guaranteed to get results. So when people come to me and they keep saying the same things over and over again, one thing I know is that the seed that was sown in their life about praying in tongues has not been watered and has not been... no light. There's been no light. Because it's not producing. It's not happening. Any time that you water and add light to the Word of God that is sown, it's going to produce. It absolutely is going to produce. There's no way that you can stop it. Look over in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 13. I apologize. It's Matthew 13. We're going to look at verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Can you see that this is basically the same thing we just read over there in Mark? Okay, now, go back to verse 1. Actually, verse 3. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, that's the beginning of this parable, which parallels with what Jesus said over there in Mark chapter 4. A sower went forth to sow. Then if you look back over in verses 10 and 11, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now look at this. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Now keep in mind that Jesus says the sower sows the word. So therefore, when it comes to understanding the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, that is directly related to the sower sowing the word. Can you see this? And we're still talking about the same thing that he was covering over there in Mark chapter 4. But now if you look in verses 24, well, verse 23 again, the hundredfold, 30, 60. But in verse 24, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Can you see he's still talking about the same thing here? He's still talking about the parable of the sower sowing the word. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now look at this. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now look closely. Now I'm not going to teach on this whole thing. I'm just going to use this as an example. Okay. Now look at verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto what? What's it say? A man which sowed good seed in his field. Well, now look at verse 25. But while who? Men, plural. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Notice the people sleeping in verse 25. This is not the man who sowed the seed. You see this? Now, keep in mind, Jesus is giving a parallel of the Word of God. So a man has sown seed, but men slept, and tares were sown. Who are the people who slept? It's the people into whom the seed was sown. It's not the sower. He wasn't the one sleeping. It's the people into whom the Word was sown. And while they were sleeping, what does sleeping represent? Spiritual indifference. That's what this represents, is spiritual indifference. And the enemy comes along and sows tares. What do the tares represent? Well, what did the man in verse 24 sow? Good seed, right? Good seed. What's the guy sowing in verse 25? Bad seed. You see this? So now what do you have? You have two things sown into the lives of people. Good seed and bad seed. Wheat and tares, as it's put here in this analogy, in this parable. Now here's the thing between with wheat and tares. When wheat and tares are sown, when they first break ground, they look identical. And the only way to know the difference is the fruit they produce. When it comes harvest time, then you know the difference between the wheat and the tares. And later on in this, that's why he talks about, you know, the people said, well, should we dig out the tares? He says, no, because you might dig out the wheat too. See, if you could tell the difference between the wheat and the tares, it'd be easy just to rip out the tares now, wouldn't it? But as when they first pop ground, they look the same. This is why Jesus is giving this example. And again, we're not teaching the whole thing, this whole chapter. But what I'm getting at is this. If these guys hadn't been asleep, they could have noticed when the enemy was coming in and sowing the tares. Now, all of you who have ever planted anything, work with me on this analogy, okay? Can you supply light and water while you're sleeping? Now, I know some smart aleck's going to say, well, put it outside for the sun to get it. All right, let's say you live in Alaska, all right? And you've got to use a grow light or something. Okay, you know what I'm getting at, all right? You see this. You can't do what's necessary while you're sleeping. Because what if you take your flower pot and put it someplace where it's shade all the time? Well, it needs light. You've got to move it out into the light. And sometimes you may put it someplace that you think has lots of light, then you find out that 3/4 of the sunlight are blocked by a tree or by a you know, overhang or whatever. So you've got to move that pot into a place where it gets all the light. Here's the thing. The spiritual indifference is what keeps people from watering and applying light to the good seed that is sown. Because if water and light is applied to the good seed, you're going to get the fruit that the seed can produce. It's guaranteed. And so when it comes to us, as believers, the seed is sown. And there's a lot of good seed that's been sown. Because I know who a lot of you have heard preach and teach. A lot of good seed has been sown. But if you don't water and you don't apply the light, all you have is dormant seed And contained in that seed is every ounce of healing you'll ever need for your body. Contained in that seed is every ounce of need supplied that you'll ever face. Contained in that seed is divine revelation that's going to take you away from the tares and help you produce the fruit of understanding the truth and the fullness of God's Word. But now the thing is, if you don't do the light and you don't do the water, all you have is the seed. And here's the thing. The Lord showed me that a lot of people confuse the head knowledge of the seed with spiritual revelation. Now, at this point in time in the sermon, this is the perfect opportunity for the poker face. I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, but you know, it's very possible that if you're sitting there nodding your head and saying, amen, that's right, you know, you might be it. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying you might. Those of you listening to this, you know, by tape or whatever, and if you're sitting there saying, that's right, Brother Martin, preach on, you might be the one. It might just be a bunch of seed in your head, but it's never taken root in your spirit, and it's not producing anything. If the light and the water is not there, you have to apply the light and you have to apply the water. It's not optional. If you don't do these things, then you may end up living according to tares. You don't have a choice. You say, okay, Brother Martin, you keep talking about we have to water, and you keep talking about we have to do the light and all this other. Well, what is the water and what is the light? Glad you asked. I'll show you. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at one verse here. We'll look at two. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? By the word. That he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. So, from God's perspective, what is one form of water? The word. Very simple. I thought the seed was the word. Okay, it is. But you have to understand, God has to lower himself to our level to explain things to us in a way that we can understand, because typically we're too dense to grasp the depth of spiritual revelation. That's why he says, okay, seed, plant, grow. Word, plant, grow. And we say, oh, yeah, now I get it. He has to use illustrations for us that we can relate to. It's because we're not accustomed to understanding things on a spiritual level. Now, he wants us to get to that place, all right? So, yeah, the seed is the word, but so is the water. The water is the word. Let's look at another one. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And look what Jesus said. Two verses. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, I'm going to make a long explanation short. Pray in tongues. You're going to water the seed. You're going to pray in tongues. You say, wait a minute, you're telling me that the word is water and praying in tongues is water? Yeah, I am. Now, let's kind of carry this out. The word is water. Okay, when I stand up here or any other preacher delivers to you truth, it's in seed form, okay? All that's happened at this point is the seed has been sown. But the more that you get into the Word, is the more that the water of the Word begins to water the seed that's been sown. Remember, Scripture talks about how the Berean Christians, they studied the Scriptures to see if these things be so. I can't begin to tell you, and again, it's just not my experience, it's others as well. I cannot begin to tell you how many times that seed has been sown about certain things, and people never take the time to water it. Absolutely do not take the time to water it. And then in conversations with me or the preachers that have sown the seed, I'm obviously making reference to others outside this church. In those conversations, they act like, they speak like, they talk like, they ask like they were never here. They were never in the service. Sometimes it's almost scary. Seriously. Because some of the things that I hear come out of people's mouths when I know the seed is in there. When I know that seed is in there. Things that come out of their mouths are pure tares. Absolute pure tares. Since the first day that I ever stepped behind a pulpit to preach till today, in that span of time, there are people that I thought were making some progress spiritually, getting close to being able to maybe be given more responsibility behind the pulpit, and then they say something. And on the inside, it's like I get this cold chill. I'm not saying this to be humorous. I'm serious. It's like I get this cold chill in me, and I know, God have mercy. Where in the world is this coming from? I know what they've heard. I know what's been sown. I know what's been sown into their lives. How can they say this? It's not like they're talking about going out and committing sin. It's just that what's coming out is absolute pure tear. It's like they've never heard it. It's like they've never experienced it. And I know the seed has been sown. Now, what does that mean? Okay, let's just pick an easy one. I use healing a lot. Let's just use healing, okay? By His stripes you were healed. God sent His word and healed them, delivered them from all their destructions. Jesus took infirmities, bore our sicknesses, that kind of a thing. Okay. So, seed is sown. Right that moment, seed was sown. When I said those things, when I quoted from Scripture, seed was sown. Okay? Seed is sown. And then somebody says something like, I just don't know why God hasn't healed me. Pastor, I need you to pray for my, ankle bone connected to the leg bone, which is connected to the thigh bone, which is connected to the head bone or whatever. I want you to pray for something. I don't know why God hasn't healed me. Do you see what I'm getting at? And I know that the seed has been sown in their life. I know it. So when they come and they say something like that, in my mind I'm thinking, wow. If that's your question, you really have no business even praying for somebody about healing. Because I don't even know what you're going to say. If you have to say, I don't know why God hasn't, and if somebody comes to you for a healing need, what are you going to pray over them? Oh, Father, if it be thy will? I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm not saying don't go pray for people. Don't misunderstand me. But can you see the concern that can rise up when you hear things like this? Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, Brother Martin, I just, some of blah, blah, share, explain. And I'm thinking, what? I know what seed has been sown in your life. But what's happened is, it's seed. That's all it is. It is non-germinated seed that's been sown. And there's nothing being produced. Now, here's the kicker. You can be around people like that and not even know it. Because until the subject of the seed sown comes up in a conversation, you may think they're a spiritual giant. Now, in some things, they may be producing the petunias that have been sown in their life. But when it comes to the marigolds, it's nothing but seed. So their petunia doctrine is in full bloom. But their marigold doctrine is just seed. And it's never been germinated. It's never taken root. And so in place of marigold doctrine, they might have pear doctrine that's masquerading as marigold doctrine. But they don't know the difference, because the tear doctrine is based on something they've seen in God's Word. But it wasn't sown as truth. This is making sense. And this happens over and over again. All right, we talked about the water. Let's look at the light, okay? Turn to Psalm 43. Everybody there? Psalm 43. Good. Now look at verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me in unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Send out thy light and thy truth. What's going to happen when that takes place? You'll be led into God's holy hill, to his tabernacles. Another way to put that, you'll be led into his presence. Send out thy light and thy truth. Okay, now let's complete our understanding. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So when he's talking about send it back there in Psalm 43, verse 3, where he says, send out thy light and thy truth, he's talking about the word. And Jesus, again, in John 17, thy word is truth. You say, wait a minute. The word is seed. The word is water. And the word is light. Hallelujah. You got it. And again, here's how it works. I stand here today, or any other sermon, or any other preacher, whoever it is, and seed is sown. Seed is sown. Over and over, seed is sown. But if you walk out and you never apply light and water to that seed, the only thing you have is seed. Even if you are consciously aware of that seed that is sown. Even if you are consciously aware of what that seed can produce. Even if you remember that seed that was sown. Some people, it's like they completely forget the seed was ever sown. And then other people, it's like they remember the seed was sown, but all it is a seed. And they can make reference to that seed. And they can talk about that seed, but they don't have the fruit or the flowers or the blooms or anything about that seed being produced in their life. And here's the thing, guys. God's Word can't fail. The seed of God's Word is absolutely guaranteed to produce my life, your life, and anybody else's life. Now, this doesn't mean that just because I'm the guy standing behind the pulpit doing the sowing, do you understand I'm responsible for light and water as well? For my own life? I'm not exempt from this. The entire body of Christ is responsible for this. So when seed is sown, here, if you don't take that seed, let me use as an example what I have used so many times in the past when it comes to understanding things and growing. You take the tape and you play that tape and you pray in tongues while you're listening and you follow along in Scripture and you take notes as you go. That is watering and adding light to the seed. Now, if you don't do that, you need to understand the seed is there. It's how many years has good seed been sown into you? 10, 15, 30? We're not talking tares. Good seed only. How many years has good seed been sown into you? It's there. Here a while back, last 5 years, within the last 5 years, last 10 years, whatever. It's not been a long time ago. In one of the tombs of the pharaohs, one of the pyramids, whatever it was over there in Egypt, they found one of those clay jars because, you know, they believed they'd come back to life. And so they would put a whole lot of... Did you know they actually at times, according to what I've read, they would put people in there, in those tombs with the dead person, so that when the dead person came back, there'd be servants there waiting to attend to their need. And what's even dumber than that is the people who would volunteer to be the servants.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's really dark in here. Well, why don't we light a torch? Yeah, good idea. And burn up all the oxygen even faster. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, some of the things that they would put in these tombs would be clay jars full of seed, so that when the dead person came back to life, they could plant it and have something to eat. Okay, now let's think. You come back from, you know, from the dead and you're now alive. Wouldn't you be kind of hungry? You want to wait 8 months before you get it? I mean, who, you know, you don't want to wait that long for a hamburger. You want that burger now. You don't want to have to sow burger seeds and wait for 8 months to get your burger and cheese. Anyway, they found one of these clay jars and it had wheat in it. And this, they estimated it to be maybe 4,000, 5,000 years old. And they thought, let's try something. They sowed it, and it produced. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been standing in front of that wheat, I would have been kind of like, wow, this is 4,000, 5,000-year-old wheat. Ooh. I don't know, maybe I'm a little goofy about that kind of... But that would have made an impression on me. Now, 15 years of good seed that's been sown in your life, do you realize it's there? It's waiting to be watered, and it's waiting for light. And as soon as that water and that light is applied, it's going to start to germinate. It's going to start to sink roots, and those roots will be sown way down deep in your spirit. And it's going to start to produce the bloom, the fruit, everything. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. Because it's God's Word. Something that you heard 5 years ago, where I know that that seed was sown in you, and over time you've come to me and you've made statements and asked questions that have proven to me that all you have is dormant seed. There are no roots. There are no blooms. I mean, there's just dormant seed. That seed is in your clay jar, that earthen vessel, so to speak. If you go and you get the tapes from that teaching, whether it was a single tape or a tape set, and you do what I just shared, and you begin to listen to that tape, and you begin to pray in tongues, then what's going to happen, and you follow along in Scripture, what's going to happen is you're adding light, you're adding water to that seed. And over time, you're going to have a harvest of whatever that seed can produce in your life. Revelation knowledge, I mean, whatever you want to call it, you're going to have a harvest of that. And it's not just a matter of you do it till you get the harvest. You keep doing it, and you keep doing it. Because see, the thing about God's Word, the roots will keep sinking deeper. And the stalk will become stronger. And the fruit is going to become bigger and thicker and juicier and all this. Now, how many of you know what zoysia grass is? You plant zoysia grass, and you give it enough time, it's going to take over your whole yard and the whole neighborhood. Now, it's a good grass. It's a strong grass. It's almost impossible to kill this grass. And when it's green, my goodness, it's like a carpet. It is thick. It is beautiful. In fact, they've come out with strains of zoysia now that don't turn brown in the winter. Now, that got some people more excited than anything. Where, Brother Martin? But not only will zoysia, is it hardy grass, but it will kill anything in its path. Weeds don't survive in zoysia. It'll kill dandelions. It'll kill crabgrass. It's like an invading army. It's going to win. It can't be stopped. Now, God's Word is like that. Because the more that you water and the more that you add light is the more that it's going to choke out the tares. And those tares are not going to produce any more confusion. The tares aren't going to produce any more unbelief or whatever it is that they're producing. It won't. The zoysia of God's truth is going to choke out all this other stuff. But you've got to add the water and you've got to add the light to the seed. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get what the seed can produce. And this is why a lot of Christians will hear these messages and they will even acknowledge the seed is sown. But their response is, all this stuff about healing, I just don't know if that's true. In other words, they are acknowledging that the seed has been sown. Because you can't make a statement like that unless the seed's been sown in you. Do you see what I mean? So they're acknowledging that the seed has been sown, but the thing is, they've not been adding light, they've not been adding water, and so therefore all it is dormant seed. That's just like, if we had left that flower box, if I had known those seeds were in that flower box and left that flower box in the garage and I'd gone out there and I just looked at the thing and said, well, I tell you what, those are dumb, dead, no good, rotten, lousy seed. They can't produce anything. We should have never sown these flowers. We should have never done this, and why just might as well throw it out, just dump it, put it in the trash. But if I had taken it outside in the sunlight and I had added the water, the flowers would have come up. You see this? Likewise, with the truth, the good seed, if you add the light and you add the water, you're going to get the harvest. Absolutely. It doesn't matter what it is. Now remember, you sow light, water, you have to give it time. We're not talking a Jack and the Beanstalk thing. You throw the seeds out the window the next day, climb up to the clouds. It doesn't work that way. That's why you have to keep watering and you have to keep adding the light. You have to keep doing this. And I've explained how to do it. Now here's the thing though. If you don't do this, you're going to have a lot of seed and you're going to, in some cases where you haven't forgotten the seed that was sown, you're going to be able to carry on conversations with other people about the seed. But you're not going to have the fruit of the seed operating in your life. This is a challenge for a lot of people because, like I said earlier, they confuse the head knowledge of the seed sown with the fruit. It's not the fruit. You just sow the seed. It's just in there. That's all it is. It's just in there. It's just there. Now, let me give you, in closing, what is it?
This is my first closing. Hallelujah.
There are a lot of Christians that are trying, we talk about the sower, the different perspective on this. Sower sows the word, so you keep speaking the word. Keep trying to sow the word, to bring about change. There are a lot of Christians that are trying to sow seed that's never been sown in them. And they're speaking it, but on the inside, they really don't know. They really don't believe. They're really not sure. They really aren't convinced. Meaning that internally, they have seed that's never really germinated because they have doubts about what they're sowing. Think of it in the natural. I can remember one time I had a packet of seeds. They were like 3 years old. Seed packets are dated. They were 3 years old. Well, I'm going to plant these, or 2 years old, whatever, but I was going to plant these. And at first I didn't think it would make a difference. But then somebody told me, this seed's like 2 years old. It may not work now. It's like, oh, well, I didn't know that. So anyway, when I planted them, I had some doubts. I don't know if these things are going to grow or not. And I'll tell you what, some did and some didn't. Okay? Now, that's just a natural analogy. But in the realm of the Spirit, there are a lot of people that they have the seed in them. God's Word doesn't fail. It's always going to work. Light and water, it's going to produce, guaranteed. They have the seed in them, but they're trying to sow seed when no seed has actually been planted in them. Another natural analogy, when you have a flower and you want more of that flower next year, When it starts to die, and you've got the seed on that flower, you clip it, you dry it out, and you can plant it next year. See what I mean? But the only way you can do that is if you have first that flower that's grown to the place of producing seed. So you have a lot of Christians, they have seed in them, but it's never taken root. And so when they're trying to sow things, they really don't know for sure if it's going to work or not. Now here's the glorious thing about God's Word. I mean, if I had designed this whole thing, I probably wouldn't do it this way. I don't know. But the glorious thing about God's Word is, even if you're not in full bloom, you can still get results from confessing God's Word. That's mercy. That's grace. It's not Jim. You can still get results. But here's the thing about it. When you have that seed in you and you light and you water and it begins producing and then you begin confessing, you know, sowing the word on your own, you're going to get a lot more results. It's going to come quicker. And not only that, but you're going to have a whole lot more confidence that you're going to see it happen. So God's Word works. It absolutely is going to work. But for you to become everything that God's Word says you can become and to do everything that God's Word says you can do, you've got to add light, you've got to add water to the seed that's been sown in your life. And if you do, you'll get the results. And if you don't, you won't get the results. And if you don't get the results and it just lays dormant seed, sooner or later people around you are going to know. Because you're going to talk tares, hallelujah. So, what do you want? Do you want flowers? Or do you just want to hope something good happens? See, Brother Martin, I'll just keep coming to church. Good. And I'll keep sowing seed. And you can keep watering and you can keep adding light. And you're going to get results. Praise God. This works. Absolutely works. So think about your own life. Think about where you are. Think about what's going on. Think about the questions you have about anything. And just as a starting place, take a look at the tape sets that are available. Is there a tape set that identifies the questions you have? If so, then you know where to start. And eventually we're going to end up with a tape catalog of all the individual tapes so that you can go back through. And to carry this out a step further, another one of these long-range things, outlines of every sermon that's ever been preached. Brother Martin, you're going to be busy, aren't you? Me and the people God sends around to help, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. But that's okay. That's what it's all about. Helping people become everything that God's called them to become. Praise the Lord. Okay, all of you spiritual seed-sowing farmers. Stand up, begin to worship your spiritual seed store, Jesus Christ. It's just the one person or several people, but the Lord wants you to know that this message today is the answer to some things that you've questioned about getting results in your life, about what you've heard. So, now that you've got the answer, you know what to do. Praise God.